different tonight, but it's what I feel to do. And so pray for me that God will help me tonight. I wonder if you'd help me pray right now. God, would you move in our behalf tonight? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you help us to receive what you have for us tonight? In the name of Jesus, use these lips of clay, I pray. Oh, God, in whatever way you choose, we give you the honor and the glory. Let your anointing flow up us to receive it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You may be seated. You know, an altar is something that we talk about a lot in church. Sometimes we look at an altar, a visible altar, and we look at it with different levels of interpretation or maybe different angles that we look at its application in our lives. And sometimes when we look at the altar that is physical before us, there are different views that we have about the altar. Sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we look at it as the only place that we can meet with God. There's a lot of different ways that people look at an altar. And when we talk about an altar an invisible altar? It's in our lives, and we look at that, and many times we look at that different ways, the same, you know, that I just described, a physical altar. We look at an altar in our lives different ways, and sometimes we don't even look at it. How many know that? Sometimes we just forget about it. The altar in our lives gets forgotten. There was somebody that talked about an altar, that talked about what it is. There are people that have researched it, that have looked it up. There's one particular source that says this about an altar. This is what they say. An altar is very important. It is a place to refocus, a reminder of your ideals, and perhaps most importantly, a place to nourish your soul and encounter the divine. An altar is a source of joy and peace. It is a symbol to help you remember who you really are, where you came from, and where you are going. An altar just helps life fall into place. How does it improve your life? No one can say exactly how it works, but it is easy enough to verify that it does work. Now, if you listen to that, you'll think, my... must have been an apostolic, one God, tongue-talking, holy, rolling, born-again Pentecostal that wrote that. No, can I tell you where that came from? A Wiccan witch's website. That's the Wiccan witch has a website. A Wiccan witch has a website, and the Wiccan witch described the altar as such. If you listen to that, there's a lot of parallels, in fact, mostly all parallels to what we look at and think of as an altar. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we will accept the interpretation, even if it is parallel to the truth, if you will. But sometimes we will look at that, and the fact that it is the same in its primitive form as what we believe or we understand within the faith that we exercise, in this faith that we call apostolic faith or Pentecostal faith. Whenever we see something very similar, it's really easy to get drawn into that. And the reason I mention that, use that as an example, is because it would be easy to read that and go, oh, wow, boy, that's really something. Tell me some more. Well, you let them keep telling you much more, and you're going to get off into witchcraft. See what I'm saying? So we do have to be careful what the sources are. The second thing I must say is that the devil, we know he's a liar. We know that. But he's a mimic. He mimics. He loves to mimic. He loves to mimic. Bible talks about Satan himself being transformed into an angel of light. Now notice that in order to appear as an angel of light, he has to be transformed into that. Why? Because the devil is not an angel of light. The devil was a very beautiful angel. The devil got thrown out of heaven. The devil is not carrying around the anointing of God and being used of God mightily to minister to people to get the Holy Ghost. It's not the way it is. It's just not the way it is. Now, I will tell you that God uses the devil. He sure does. Amen. That everything's under God's control, including the devil. And so we see that there are a lot of sources that we have to be careful what we listen to. So that's why whenever we look at, for example, tonight, talking about an altar, it's important that we don't just grab some feel-good information off the radio, from the radio evangelist, from maybe a very good man who is a local preacher. I can tell you there's some local preachers in Bakersfield that are good men. They are good men. But if they don't have the truth, then you're going to hear, you know, pieces of good. But there's going to be some things in there that's going to all of a sudden begin to cause you to question because, you know, they're speaking contrarian, and that is not to tear them down or change it. All I'm saying is, if I were to stand up here and to try to introduce to you and try to explain to you how, I mean, the details and how to really, really, really get the stains out of your clothes, and I'm up here and I'm telling you everything I know, well, let me just tell you, I'll tell you about how far I know to do is to shout it out. You know what I mean? That's about as far as I know. I don't understand the depth, but I promise you, I've worked on a few stains in my life. I know how to get a few stains out in clothes before. I mean, I know how to go and scrub something and maybe get it out. And there's a whole lot of preachers that are good men and they're telling you what they know or everything they understand or what they believe and they're sharing the Bible, but then they stop short of the full gospel message. So we got to be careful that we don't just simply say, somebody says, oh my, I'm trying to think of something, I just don't know that much about some clothes, but Sister Beth, and I don't know about clothes, so Sister Lewis may have to correct me if I'm off base here, but I think this is accurate. You probably wouldn't go home, and if she had a stain in that dress, you probably wouldn't go home and pour bleach all over it and scrub it, would you? Well, I've used bleach before and it works. Why can't we do that? Why? Because there's more to it than just pouring bleach. Bleach might work on whites, but you don't want to pour it all over, you know, colored fabrics and things with different colors and so forth. You know, I can promise you that somewhere along the way in my life, I don't remember exactly when, but there was a time in my life when I quit putting in brand new red clothes with my white t-shirts. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. But if you've not experienced that before and nobody has told you what to do, you might just throw nice red garments in there with it. But I promise you're going to find out. And can I say that there's a lot of things that we teach and we preach at Real Life Church that we are not lording over other ministries as if we are, you know, the next best thing to the great I am. No. Let me just tell you, as a church it is, by the way, but us individually, we are nothing without him. We are just simply proclaiming the gospel that Jesus has revealed to us so graciously and so wonderfully. When we preach about one God, the oneness of God, it is a beautiful revelation that God has given to us. When we talk about baptism in Jesus' name, repentance and filling of the Holy Ghost, it is a beautiful gospel that has been imparted to us and revealed to us, and we are so thankful, and so we share it with others. But there are some that will fall short of repentance and water baptism and infilling of the Holy Ghost by evidence by speaking in other tongues and many other things. So all I'm saying is that when we start talking about the things of God, we've got to be careful to sort it all out. You know what I mean? Sort it all out. If I'm driving down the road and I were listening to, what's that local radio station? Life one, Life FM, 88.3, the local. Well, when you're listening to that, there's some, you know, encouraging music on there. You're going, you're feeling good, everything, and then somebody may get on there and they may preach for a few minutes or tell a thought, and you know, if they're talking about how, you know, God gives us hope, and through Him there's hope, and we're so thankful that Jesus gave His blood that all of us could be saved, and then they start singing a song again. Well, amen to that. They just told the truth. Praise God. But if I'm not careful, and I start really getting drawn into that, then if I'm not careful and I haven't read my Bible and I'm not paying attention, I might start listening if they start getting off on explaining the deity of Jesus Christ, or the deity or the explanation of the mystery of the Godhead. And can I say that we got to just be careful what we listen to? Well, let me get beyond that. So, talking about an altar. An altar. Many, many, many people talk about altar and what it is, but I wanted to just kind of narrow down and say that we're not just going to take a Wiccan witch's website and build a message off that. No way. Even though some of that was true, but let's just talk a little bit about tonight. I want to talk to you about real altars and real prayers. Real altars and real prayers. How many know that we need a real altar in our life? How many know that we need to learn how to really pray real prayers? This is some things about a true altar. I want to just describe to you some things about a true altar. Some people think, yeah, I have an altar in my life. Yeah, I go in there and I pray 5 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes a day, whatever I pray. I pray. You know, I'm praying, and that's my altar. Well, let me tell you what a true altar is. A true altar goes beyond just praying. Anybody can pray. Sometimes I think that as Christians, we want to have a medal for prayer. You know, it's almost like we want to have, those points for how many minutes you pray today. You know, and as you build up the minutes, pretty soon, ding, 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 your phone goes off and it's like, congratulations, you've just earned the Prayer of the Week award for praying so much. Huh? Let me just tell you that it doesn't matter. We could pray all day long, literally, and still not be where we need to be with God and still not be connected with God. But there's something that Jesus called a prayer closet when we go in and we shut the door. And then He starts talking about praying to the Father. Can I say that when we pray, it's not just a place where we just pray. I can walk. This is how when I was growing up, they used to have these prayer meetings, and some of them they called all-night prayer meetings. They were. It was all night. You slept all night, and then you woke up every few hours and said a few words and went back to sleep. Those were all-night prayer meetings in a lot of cases. But anyways, here's how they would pray. Oh, hallelujah, heavenly Jesus. Oh, wonderful Savior. Oh, blessed God. And that goes on for, you know, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And when they leave, they go out and say, boy, I'll tell you, I'm so tired today because we had an all-night prayer meeting last night. No, you didn't. You just had a little bit of conversation with God, but you didn't get into the prayer closet. You didn't get deep into the prayer closet. There's a difference. So let's talk about what a true altar is. A true altar in your life is a place that is separated for worship unto God. Now, you could, if you can't find any other place to pray, you can pray in McDonald's. You really, really can. Now, I would say don't stand up, don't get up and climb up on the booth and lift your hands and make sure everybody's watching and go, oh, Heavenly Father, and bellow out loud, speaking in tongues. That's not praying. That's not what we're after. No, the prayer closet is getting alone with God. So you can literally be in a room full of people And you can just begin to meditate on God, and your mind goes to where God is, and you just begin to think of God, and you begin to tune out everybody else. And pretty soon, you know, you may not even be speaking audibly where anybody can hear you, but you're just quietly just speaking to Him, just you and Him quietly. You're speaking to Him, and it's connecting with Him, and pretty soon you forget where you are, you forget where everybody around you. You're just connected with Him. Can I tell you what that is? Right in the middle of McDonald's, having your Happy Meal, you are connecting with God in a prayer closet if you tune everything else out. So an altar is a place separated for worship unto God. It is a place where prayers and praises are offered. It is a place of refuge and a place of comfort from the troubles of this world. You know, it's funny, but imagine that there's a grown man, and he doesn't know how to swim, and he gets too close to the edge of the pool, and it's 5 feet deep on the deep end. It's 5 feet, and he's 5'8". And so he falls in the deep end, and he panics, and he says, "Oh, somebody help me. I've fallen in the pool. I'm going to drown. And he's this close to the edge. Here's the edge of the pool. And he's going, "Somebody help me. Somebody help me. I'm drowning. Somebody help me. Please. I'm going to drown. Look. I'm going to drown." Well, somebody probably would look at him and say, "Hey, buddy, why don't you grab the side of the pool and just get out of the pool? Just get out of the pool, because if you don't want to drown, get out of the pool." And sometimes we can find ourselves so drowning in the cares and troubles of this world, and we don't know which way we're going to turn, and we're fretted and frustrated and crying and don't know what we're going to do. When really what we need to do is find our altar and get to our prayer closet and climb out of the pool. When you get out of the pool and you find that your altar is a place of refuge and a place of comfort from the troubles of this world, how many know that prayer changes things? The altar is a place to humble yourself.
Well, a lot of people don't want to do a lot of prayer, but they sure do a lot of showmanship in church. Isn't that something? A lot of people are showing and performing in church, how they praise, how they worship, how they know how to quote scriptures. You know, I catch myself. I hope you do it too. And that is that sometimes the preacher will put a scripture up, and they'll start to read something, or they'll just start to quote it, and you quote it with them. Ever done that? I do it. You know, if the preacher says, you know, to everything there is a season, you know, time to this and time to that, and I knew it. Well, I might just, while I'm sitting there at my chair, I might say it too, you know. Or if somebody said, you know, "Then Peter said unto them, repent," I might quote the rest of it with me. I might do that. There's some people, boy, I'll tell you, preacher starts saying a verse they know, and they finish it out loudly so everybody can hear them and know that they know. In fact, they'll say a little bit ahead of the preacher. You ever heard that? You know, people will quote it just a little bit ahead of the preacher. You know, about two words ahead of him, so everybody knows that they know it. It's just funny. Well, what is that? That's not humility. That's pride. We're so full of pride in our carnality. But when you get to an altar, a true altar, it's a place to humble yourself. You're not in there trying to impress God. He knows better. So we get into an altar, and it's a place to humble ourselves. It's a place to offer thanks, a place to make vows. Got to be careful about those vows. "Oh, Lord, I'm telling you, Lord, I feel so good. I'm so thankful for what you did for me, and the devil, he's not going to get me again. So I'm going to go on a 180-day fast." That wasn't too smart, because vows are serious. It's better not to vow a vow at all than to break a vow. So we got to be careful when we vow a vow. Just because it feels right, "Oh my, I'm never going to eat again until the Lord saves my lost loved one." Well, that's okay. But you might be up there waiting for them to get there, because you might go before them. So we got to be careful when we make vows. But an altar is a place where we do make vows to say, "God, I'm giving up
such and such in my life that I just don't feel good about. God, I'm not going to go there anymore. God, I'm not going to do this anymore. God, I'm going to start doing this more and more every day. Whatever the case is, it's a place to make vows. It's a place where you sometimes have to climb up Mount Moriah and offer up your Isaac. A true altar is a place where your life has changed and you can discover your destiny. A place where sinners become saints and saints answer the call to carry the gospel to a world that is lost and dying. The altar is a place where even though you may not say a word, the presence of God surrounds you. It's a place where you can die and yet find life abundantly. An altar is a place of dedication, consecration, where you lay yourself on the altar and say, I'm yours, God. You may use me as you choose. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30, it's a place where Elijah has called all the prophets of Baal together, and he has given them an opportunity to call on their God, little g, their God, and he didn't answer because he couldn't hear. Finally, when it was all done in the evening time, Elijah said, okay, come here and let's dig some trenches around the altar. Let's fill them full of water. Let's pour water all over the altar. Let's saturate everything. I want everything just literally waterlogged, just full of water. And so they did all that, and he wanted to show the people what God could do. But there's something interesting in verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down or thrown down. Interesting to me that Elijah told the people, come near to me, before he repaired the altar. Can I tell you what I believe he was doing? And there's different things, I'm sure, but what jumps out at me and what speaks to me is that Elijah was saying, come here, I got a lesson for you. Come here, get real close to everybody, and look, we're getting ready to offer a sacrifice, but before we do that, there's something that has to be done first. I have to repair this altar. I feel like he was trying to get everyone to see and understand that you cannot move forward until you repair the altar. Before you sacrifice, before prayer, before revival, you first got to repair the altar. Can I say that sometimes we are upset and frustrated with God because our prayers are not answered and it seems like nothing's happening? I wonder sometimes if maybe we are praying before we repair the altar. I wonder sometimes if we are sacrificing before we repair the altar. It's important that we get in there and we repair the altar. An altar that is broken down in your life needs to be repaired back. Don't just take sand buckets and make it out of sand. It's going to float away. But go find you some solid rocks, real rocks. That's how they used to do in the old days. They would get rocks and they would build a stone altar. And when they got done, when the fire fell, it was not going to consume the rocks. Now, of course, fire of God can. It can consume anything. But whenever they are offering on a daily sacrifice to God, they needed something that was strong enough to survive. And too many people, I think, are offering prayers and sacrifices upon altars that are not made from the rock. There are many people that are trying to worship God certain days or certain seasons or certain what are called holy days or holidays, as we call them, that are worshiping God on an altar that is not hewn from the rock. Let's make sure that we repair our altars before we sacrifice and before we offer our altar and before we pray, before revival, before anything. We've got to repair the altar. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 3 says, I thank God. This is Paul. He wrote a letter to Timothy, his son in the gospel. He said, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience,
that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee. I remember you in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, when I pull out and I remember the sincere faith, the unfeigned or not phony, but sincere faith that's in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. When I remember that, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, Timothy, I'm remembering you, and when I remember you in my prayers, it stirs me up and does something for me, and it causes, spurs me into levels of prayer and certain areas of prayer. And I want to make sure that I want to put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. You know, I'm sometimes whenever we are talking about prayer, it is such a difficult subject, could I put it that way? And a lot of times we look at prayer as being something difficult. Kind of like if somebody calls you and says, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow?" "Oh, I don't know. I was just going to kind of hang around the house and take it easy and enjoy my Saturday and probably just relax." And they say, "Well, hey, you want to go hiking up Mount Everest?" Well, something about that just seems difficult. You know what I mean? Something about that's like, why don't you call me Monday and I'll let you know if I want to go tomorrow. Let me just say that it's not always something that we want to do. And prayer is like that sometimes. Whenever we think, "Oh my, it's prayer time. I need to go to prayer. Let me get my mountain climbing clothes on. Let me see. It's going to take me about an hour to get ready for prayer." Why? Why? We just go pray. Just go pray. Simple. We just go pray. Just go pray. Like when somebody wants to go talk to their neighbor, you don't go, "Oh my goodness, let me get my hiking boots on. I got to go talk to my neighbor." No, you don't. You just walk out the door, go talk to your neighbor. That's all we do when we pray. We just go into the prayer. The difference is, got to make sure we close that door. When we shut that door and we get in there in prayer, It's just you and God. It's other people don't belong in your intimate relationship with God. When you shut that door and it's just you and God, we need to connect with Him in a special way. Now I understand there's situations if there's certain situations that you still got to stay somewhat connected. If you're going to go into the prayer room and you're going to be there a couple hours praying, and you were going to be there a while, and there's somebody that's, you know, you're waiting for a call any minute that they're going to go to the hospital and deliver a child. Yeah, you're going to try to stay somewhat connected. I understand that. But I'm talking about as a rule, when we go into the prayer room or the prayer closet, when we shut the door on prayer, a lot of times the reason that we think of it as such a chore is because when we get in there to pray, we know that it's usually a chore when I get in there, because I go in there and I say, "Okay, thank you, Lord, for saving me of all my sins. And thank you, Lord, for giving me this day. And thank you for breath in my body. And thank you for my food. And thank you for this. And thank you for that. And let me see. Hold on, Lord. I know there's got to be something else." And we got to really, really think. And pretty soon we're going, "Lord, I just thank you for everything you're doing." You know what I mean? We have our time just remembering things. Why? Because we haven't broken that through that ceiling of our life, and we haven't broken into the spirit realm. So sometimes I think that it does us good if we find things that will spur us into prayer, things that might trigger our mind into prayer. Let me see if I can give you some ideas. I think sometimes we could maybe have a prayer box. There's other people that do this. Why couldn't we do this? You just find a box. It could be a cardboard box, a shoe box. It could be a wooden box. You could go to the dollar store and buy a box. It It might have a lid on it, might not. It might be pretty. You might decorate it all up, or it might be the ugliest box you ever saw. But it might be your prayer box, and it might be something that just, you know, you go around the house and just throw things in it today, and then tomorrow you carry your prayer box into the closet with you. You don't think about stuff you put. You just throw stuff in there. And then the next morning, it's time for prayer. And you go grab your prayer box, and you might bring it into your prayer closet with you. And you might say, you know, you pray. And it's always a good idea to repent, by the way, when you go into prayer. You know, somebody said, well, I don't need a bath. I took one last Saturday night. Last Sunday morning. No, let me tell you, we need a bath all the time. It's probably more than we know sometimes. I'm telling you, we've just got to take baths. And when we're talking about the Holy Ghost cleansing us and washing us by the water of his word, we need it. I don't know how you need it, but I need repentance. I need for God's forgiveness in my life. So I might just throw some things in, and then tomorrow I might go in the prayer closet and I might go, you know, I might pray and repent and ask God to help this and that and everyone around me and me and don't forget, you know, this and that. And then I start saying, Lord, I'm just gonna find some things to pray about today. And Lord, what's this, Lord? Oh, wow, Lord, forgot I had that. That's like a traffic cone. Huh, that's interesting. Wonder what that means. You know, Lord, when I see that traffic cone, you know what it makes me think of, Lord? It makes me think of all the people that I run into that are headed for danger. And maybe, Lord, I might just take a few minutes and I might just pray that you'll help me to learn how to set out cones around in the path and the journey of those who are traveling straight to hell. Maybe I can convince somebody that there's danger ahead and make them think, Lord, would you help me to learn how to set out some traffic cones? God, I want to be the best traffic cone putter outer that there is. God, would you help me? I need your help. Thank you, Lord. And then I might go back and I might say, let me see, what else is in here? Oh, yes, Lord, here's a good one. Wow, I never thought about it. Oh, wow, look at that, Lord. That's funny, Lord, that I should have this in my prayer box because, you know, Lord, how many times have I tried to worship at church, but I'm not really plugged in? How many times has a preacher tried to preach to me and I say, Lord, I've been praying for power in my life, but when the preacher preaches, I'm not plugged in? How many times, Lord, am I looking for power and I feel so weak and I feel like that I'm out of strength and I just, my spiritual batteries just feel completely dead? Lord, I wonder if maybe I need to get more plugged in to prayer. Huh? Lord, now that I think about it, there's been a whole lot of times I've come in and prayed in my little prayer closet here, and I've not really been plugged in. I wonder if that has anything to do with me not having the power that I've been wanting. Lord, would you help me to become more plugged in when I get into prayer? Would you help me to be more plugged in church? Would you help me to be more plugged into the needs of others? Would you help me to be more plugged in? Lord, let me see what else is in here. Let me see, Lord. There's some other things in here. Oh my! Wow! Look at that, boy. Lord, you can tell these sure aren't my glasses. That's not my style. Those are a little feminine. Those aren't glasses that. Lord, wow! That's funny how those ended up in there. Lord, I don't wear these. These aren't my glasses, Lord. But you know what, Lord? Maybe you're trying to talk to me. I wonder, Lord, if sometimes I only see things through my own glasses. Preacher's preaching, and I don't agree with them because I'm looking through my glasses. Maybe sometimes when somebody's in need and I don't really have compassion on them because, after all, I've never dealt with what they're dealing with. I wonder, Lord, if somebody's really rude or if somebody's really kind of, you know, talking about me a little bit. I wonder if I were to put on their glasses. I wonder if I were to take a look at things through somebody else's glasses. So if I look at them through their glasses, I wonder, Lord, would I see things a little bit differently? Would I understand maybe a little differently than what I see? Wow, Lord, you're really talking to me today in my prayer closet. Lord, let me see what else there is in here. My Lord, wow, Lord, I've been praying for 25 minutes. I haven't done that in a year. Usually I'm in here 5 minutes and I'm out of stuff and I'm already in here 25 minutes. I'm just thinking and talking about all this stuff. Wow, Lord, what else is in my prayer box? Oh, my. Oh, my. What's this? A highlighter, Lord. What could that possibly mean? A highlighter. Lord, I wonder if I ever use these in the wrong way. I wonder if when somebody makes a mistake, if I go and I highlight their faults for everybody to see. I wonder sometimes if I want everybody to see their faults, and then I want them to see who's holding the highlighter because I don't have those faults. I wonder, Lord, if I've ever misused the highlighter. I wonder, Lord, what would happen if I were to turn around and if, Lord, if I started taking a spiritual highlighter, and when I run into people, I wonder if I were to start looking for the good things in them. Oh, the bad things might be glaring, but I'm ignoring those. I'm not paying attention to those. I'm looking for something good. And then I see something. Oh, wow. Oh, wow, Lord. Oh, my. Wow. Lord, I'm going to highlight that. Look at that. That I'm going to highlight right there. They're a good writer. They like to write things. I wonder if maybe I could get them to write a poem for me. I wonder. I'll go ask them. And then I'm going to take and I'm going to highlight the fact that they know how to write poems. And I'm going to tell other people how they are a good writer and know how to write poems. Oh, my. Boy, Lord, there's something right there I needed. Thank you, Lord. I needed to know that. Oh, my. Oh, wow. Wow, look at that, Lord. Oh, boy. A toothbrush. Oh, my. You know, Lord, I know sometimes that this old mouth can get a little foul, and sometimes maybe if I say something I shouldn't say, I wonder if maybe you need me to carry around a spiritual toothbrush, and I need to brush my teeth, brush my tongue, brush my mouth out, and get it all cleaned up. I wonder if maybe, Lord, you're trying to talk to me. Maybe I need to. Clean up my mouth a little bit. Wow, Lord, that's a good one. Ooh, boy, what else is there? What else is there? Oh, my. Oh, my. Look at this. Crazy glue. Super glue. Oh, my. Look at that. Wow. Lord, what are you trying to say here? Are you trying to tell me that I kind of maybe you're trying to tell me that I don't always stick to the doctrines. Maybe you're telling me that I don't stick to church attendance. Maybe you're telling me that I don't stick very well to being faithful in giving, or I don't stick to praying every day. Oh, Lord. Wow. Are you telling me I need some super glue? My. Okay, Lord. I get the message. I get the message. Lord, would you help me? Would you help me that I'll have the super glue? Oh, what's this? Oh, wow. Oh, that thing that Paul was talking to Timothy about. You know, Lord, now that you mention it, sometimes I do need a good old stir stick, a good old paint stick, paint paddle stir stick. Sometimes I need a good old stir stick in my life because, you know what, I do get a little bit of, thick, chunky, not wanting to move much in my insides. And, Lord, when the preacher preaches, I think sometimes that I feel like I'm just solid as a rock, when in reality, maybe I need to be stirred up and liquefied again. Maybe it's time for me to get stirred. Lord,
Would you stir me again like you did a long time ago when I was broken, like a long time ago when I first came to you, when I first found out about you, when you saved me from my sins, and I was so stirred up that I just, a preacher could preach anything, and somebody could tell me something, and I didn't get an attitude about it, and I didn't get all bent out of shape, and I didn't think I knew everything. But Lord, would you stir me? Would you stir me? Lord, would you stir me? Lord, what else? What else do I have? Oh, my. Oh, Lord, did you have to pull out the sandpaper? Oh, Lord, why did I throw this in there? I know what you're telling me there. You're telling me I've got some rough edges, aren't you, Lord? I've got some rough edges that need to be sanded down. I know. I've realized it for a while, and sometimes when somebody goes to ask me a question, I'm like respond very sharply. I know that you need to sand the corners of my mannerisms down. But Lord, please help me. Lord, can we cut this part of the prayer real short, because that's a painful subject for me. But I get it. I know I need to do that, Lord. And oh my, what are these? Scissors. Why would there be scissors? Oh my Lord. Are you telling me that there's things that I need to cut out of my life? Are you telling me that there's things that don't belong in my life that I need to cut out? I know the preacher preached along that, but you don't understand, Lord, that I was trying to help the preacher. I was preaching with him. As he shoveled it my way, I shoveled it right back to the pew behind me because they need it more than I do. I don't really need it. But Lord, you're telling me that I really did, and maybe there's some things that I need to cut out. Okay, Lord, please help me to do better. I'll try to do better. I'll try to do better. Oh, wow, look. Lord, look what I've got in here. I've got a coin wrapper. Wow. Holds a sleeve of pennies where you roll up the pennies in them. Oh, my Lord, I remember those days. I remember difficult times when I had to roll pennies just to try to come up with a few rolls to have enough gas money to get down the street to work and even to church. And Lord, I remember those days and rough days, and those were lonely days when I was a young man and felt all alone. Lord, I don't want to forget that. And I don't want to forget to be a giver. A giver. Thank you, Lord, for that reminder to be a giver. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me see what else is. Oh, wow. Oh, a measuring tape. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I know what this is for. Yes, I know why that's in there. I know why that you caused me to throw that in there yesterday. It's because you want me to go around with this measuring tape, and you want me to measure whether other people are lining up to you. Is that right, Lord? Oh, it's not? Oh, that's not what you meant? Oh, you're telling me that I need to see if I measure up to you, to the things that you want me to do, that if I'm measuring up to your word? Okay, Lord, I get it. Okay, help me, Lord. Please help me to do that. Help me to do that, Lord. Oh, wow, look, Lord, a magnifying glass. Oh, it even has a little light on it, Lord, that I can look and it lights up everything. And oh, wow, Lord, wow, that's something. Wow, it shows all the flaws that I didn't know I had. Oh, Lord, I'm used to using this on other people. Wow, I'm using it on myself, and I'm finding that I've got flaws I didn't even know I had. Is that what you're trying to tell me, Lord? Okay, I'll try to do better. Okay. And, Lord, what's this? Why a brush? Why is there a brush in here, Lord? Why is there a shoe brush in here? Soft bristles. Well, what's that all about? You can use it to brush off your shoes if there's dirt on them. I guess you could use it to brush off your clothes. Oh, I see, Lord. I get it. You're trying to tell me that when somebody treats me wrong or says something that tries to bother me, that I need to just brush it off. Is that what you're telling me, Lord? I just need to brush it off. Okay, Lord, I got it. I'll do it. With your help, I'll do it. Oh, wow. Oh, Lord, I know what this is. Oh, my Lord. Went through
a long time of COVID with one of these things, these masks. And this is a good one. This one's the N95 mask. Lord, that really filters good. This, Lord, did you know? Let me tell you a story, Lord. One time I went to get a mask, and I had just a little cloth mask, and they wouldn't let me in. They told me I had to have one of these N95 heavy duty high filtration masks, and they wouldn't let me in until I did it. Isn't that something? And oh Lord, are you telling me that maybe I'm letting things into my spiritual, into my mind, into my body, and I'm not filtering it out very well? Are you telling me that maybe I'm using a very low quality mask to filter out the things, the environment that I'm breathing in spiritually? Lord, help me to put on the right mask. Oh, Lord, here we go. Oh, some correction tape. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, these are fun. These are fun, but I always get them backwards, and I end up pulling it up instead of putting it down the paper. But yes, Lord, this is good whenever there's a, whenever you make mistakes on the paper, and then, oh, yes. Lord, would you please let your blood be the correction tape in my life for all the mistakes that I've made and all the things that I do, all my flaws. Lord, thank you for the correction tape that you have in my life. Thank you for your blood. Oh, my! Oh, look, Lord, needle and thread. Needle and thread. Wow, what would I need that for? Needle and thread, needle and thread, needle and thread. Sure don't want to drop one of those on the floor. Lord, I know what I could do with this. Would you help me to carry around some spiritual needle and thread so that when people have flaws and whenever they have wounds and whenever they have problems, that I can help stitch them up. Help me to be like a nurse that knows how to stitch people up and help them to heal. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Oh, wow, buttons. A package of buttons. Let me think about it. Oh, buttons. Lord, are you reminding me that I need to stay modest? Are you reminding me that necklines shouldn't get too low and my shirt shouldn't be open too far, and that, you know, if I've got too much of that stuff we call skin showing, that it might be a temptation to somebody else. Lord, help me to remember. Buttons, a paintbrush, a paintbrush, a paintbrush. Lord, can I do something with this? What can I do with the paintbrush? What can I do with the paintbrush? Can I maybe go and help somebody that whenever their day looks gloomy and whenever they look like that there's no hope in their surroundings? I wonder, Lord, if I were to bring over the Bible and begin to talk to them, I wonder if it'd be like putting a fresh coat of paint on their surroundings. I wonder if when I get all done painting, I wonder if they would look at their situation differently. I wonder if they'd see their habitation, their dwelling, so to speak. I wonder if they'd look at it differently and be more excited about it. Oh, Lord, there's only one more thing in here. One more thing. A hammer. A hammer. Boy, Lord, I could do some damage on my enemies with this, Lord. Oh, I could knock them upside the head and help them to realize how wrong they are. Or I could realize that there's some strong walls in my heart and in my own house, spiritual house, that need to be knocked down. Lord, would you help me? Would you put a spiritual hammer in my hand and help me to tear down those walls that stand between you and me? Would you help me, Lord, that I won't let those walls keep standing because they separate me? Maybe there's something that I have done that's unforgiven. Lord, help me to tear down those walls through repentance. Maybe there's walls between me and somebody else, and I don't talk to them anymore because, after all, we had a falling out. Lord, maybe you'll help me go tear down those walls. I wonder, Lord, if that's what I can do.
tonight, could I encourage us as I close? Could I encourage us? We need a prayer life. And I think sometimes, whatever it takes, maybe you need to go get yourself a prayer box. Maybe you walk around, you're outside in your yard, and you see an interesting rusty nail. You throw it in your prayer box. You might be walking through the house and you see a little bobby pin and you throw it in, or you see this or that, or maybe a jar of food. Throw it in there and just throw a few items in there, two, three, or four items, and then maybe the next day when it's time for prayer, maybe you go into your prayer closet and you don't start with the prayer box. Maybe you start with your normal prayers and drawing close to God, and then there comes a point where maybe if you're feeling like you don't have anything to pray about, I think we've got a lot to pray about. How about you? As we all stand, I don't know how you feel, but I got a lot to pray for. There's a lot that I can pray for. I wonder if I walked through my house tonight and filled it up with four or five other things, I wonder what there would be to pray about tomorrow. Oh, can I tell you, there's so much to pray about. When we get in there and we shut the door, there's so much for us to talk to God about. So many things that we need to connect with Him on. And I want to connect with Him more, don't you? As we close our eyes, as they sing, I wonder if we can just think about how we can connect closer to God in prayer. Shutting that door. Are there things that we've been neglecting? Are there walls that need to be torn down? Do we need to be stirred up? Do we need compassion so we can administer stitches to others? Do we need spiritual scissors that'll cut out those things in our lives that don't belong there? Are we not as plugged in as we should be? Do we need maybe to have our mouth cleaned, our language cleaned? Do we need to inspect our own selves instead of everybody else? Do we need some rough edges taken off? Do we need to have a better filter on what our eyes see, what our ears hear? Are we letting things into our mind that don't belong there? Oh, are there things that affect us that we need to learn to just brush off? Are we highlighting the wrong things in other people? Do we need to remember to be thankful for where God has provided money and to be a good giver? Do we need to learn to put out traffic cones? Have we put out any traffic cones lately to tell somebody about the dangers that are ahead? Are we looking through our own glasses only, or do we ever put on somebody else's? Are we measuring up to God's word? Oh, God, help us to do better. Help us to learn.